This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. So now that we're near the end of another graduation season, congrats again, by the way, to the class of 2013, many freshly minted college grads are now looking forward to their new jobs or still looking for jobs.
In the past, we've talked about the unemployment rate among recent college graduates. A new report from Georgetown University's Center on Education and Workforce has some good news. It finds that the unemployment rate among new college graduates is 7.9%, slightly higher than the overall national rate of 7.6%. The news gets better as you get older. For experienced college grads, that is, people 30 and older, the unemployment rate drops to below 5%, according to the new report from Georgetown.
So the study asserts that in the long run, it's still better to get a college degree than not. But the analysis goes one step further. It breaks down unemployment by college major. And there are some surprises there, which we'll talk about in a minute. But it also asks an interesting question. Given the current structure of the economy and the debt burden students take on, are students given the best advice possible on what to do with their 4 years in college now so that they can make the most of their education in the job market later? Well, joining us now is Anthony Carnevale. He's director of Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce and co-author of the new report, Hard Times, College Majors, Unemployment, and Earnings. Anthony Carnevale, welcome to the show.
Thank you for asking me here.
So your report was really quite fascinating. And I wonder if we might briefly start by taking a short survey of some of the findings in a couple key areas of college majors. For example, what's the employment outlook for someone who decides to take go the straight ahead route in engineering or the health related fields?
In general, the highest paying degrees are in engineering, although there are exceptions. You can get caught in a bad spot. Civil engineers are not doing well, and architects are not doing well, in large measure because the collapse of the financial system resulted in a huge downturn in American building. But otherwise, engineering, especially petroleum engineering, is really the top of the heap in terms of earnings potential and lower unemployment rates.
Right. In fact, I'm looking at your report right now, and it finds that, for an experienced college graduate in the engineering fields, the unemployment rate is, 2.6%? And graduate degree holders have a 2% unemployment rate. Oh, sorry, I'm looking at health. In the health fields, so still really quite low, say, if you went into something medically or health-related.
Health is distinctive in that it's a very low unemployment and an arena filled with opportunity, and it's opportunity for women. Engineering is about 75% male, but women have broken through in biology and all the health-related disciplines, pharmacy being probably the latest superstar that is rising fastest in earnings for women, also rising fastest in terms of credentials required. But healthcare is a growth business in America. As the country ages, it's already 18% of our overall output, and within a few years, one in every $5 we spend will be on healthcare.
Well, it's interesting because for recent college graduates in the arts, you found an unemployment rate of 9.8%, in the industrial arts, 8.2%, in the humanities and liberal arts, 9%. So on those fields across the board, higher than the national average when it comes to the workforce at large. But then I look at education, and for recent college graduates, you find a 5.7% unemployment rate, which to me seemed somewhat surprising. It seemed lower than one might have expected. What's driving that?
The recession between 2007 and 2010 hit men the hardest who are in industrial jobs, technical jobs, private sector jobs. The recovery has hit women harder than men, largely because of the decline in public budgets. But the public workforce, especially teachers, are the oldest occupations we have. And so for every in spite of the fact that we aren't creating new teachers' jobs, baby boom retirement is creating job openings and will likely do so for the next 15 years.
Interesting. So basically, one of the things that I take away from this new report is that it confirms what, you know, people anecdotally have presumed for many years now, that what you major in college will have a very strong impact on your job prospects and income, likely later in life. But in hearing the story about what's happened in education, what I wonder is, when I'm 18, say, and a college freshman, how likely are people to know that there's this major demographic shift that's going on that's affecting employment and education in a positive sense? I mean, is a college freshman likely to know that in a manner which might influence his or her, you know, major choices?
For the most part, the goal among Americans and American youth and their parents is still to go to college and get a degree. There's very little information provided about what the best major might be or what might happen if you stay in the major that interests you the most, and how you can turn that into a job you can do for the next 45 years after you graduate after breakfast. So no, they're not likely to know. If they do know, their prospects are much better. We know that people who know where they're going are more likely to get there, and that shows up in the data.
And I gather that troubles you, that people don't really know all that much when they're making these very key decisions about what to major in, what schools to go to, how much to pay.
It is a troubling fact because it's unnecessary. We know, as our report shows and other people's data as well, that we know a great deal about college majors, career prospects, and so on. But it's a secret we keep from young people and their parents. We have the information, but there really is no counseling system that tells people in any highly textured way what their prospects are.
And so how would you, I mean, this is exactly the issue that I want to dive into in more detail, but give us your top line, Anthony Carnevale, on how you might ideally restructure the counseling services that college students get.
I would start with a legislative idea, and that is the one that's being proposed by Senators Wyden and Senator Rubio in the United States Senate, which is the Right to Know Before You Go Act. And that legislative proposal would mandate that any program, not just schools, but the programs in them that get federal money, tell their students what happened to all the people who graduated before them. So you'd have a very good sense of the employment prospects, earnings, and career prospects of people in your major. Without that basic information, counseling is not really possible.
Well, listeners, we're talking about a new report from Georgetown University about college majors and unemployment rates within those specific majors after graduation. It ranges all the way from architecture recent grads having a 12.8% unemployment rate down to those in the field of education who have a 5.7% rate of unemployment, much, much lower than architecture. So listeners, if you had numbers like that in front of you when you were a freshman or a sophomore in college, would it have changed what you decided to major in? As Anthony Carnevale says, do you think that students get enough information, get enough counseling on how to make the best decisions in college to position themselves for job work, for job search and you know, financial success in the future? And overall, how do you think we should be counseling students when it comes to making the right choices in college that serve them the best after they get their degree? Call us at 1-800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Anthony Carnevale, if you'll stand by just for a moment, I want to introduce into the conversation Jen Barone. She's a career specialist from the College of Liberal Arts at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Jen Barone, welcome to you.
Hi, thank you very much for having me.
So, first of all, you're a career advisor in the College of Liberal Arts at UMass Boston. Let me just ask you, do students seek out your services to begin with, that you offer right now?
That's a great question. Some do and some don't. It's completely optional for students to come to our office. We try to get the word out by going into first-year seminars and other courses. We do get a good return on that investment of going in the classroom, but not every single student does make it to into our office.
Okay, so when they do, what do you tell them? I mean, do you give them these sort of, do you have the sort of data to hand that Anthony Carnevale has shared with us? And, you know, if not, what do you tell them when they come in?
Well, some of the first kind of steps that we'll start off is, why did they choose the major that they're in and what can they do with that major? Because, you know, even one of the majors I saw with the highest unemployment rate, which was anthropology, there's so much a student could do with that, whether it is field work, research, public relations, government, marketing, and then kind of how to get there. So like talking about experiential learning opportunities, how to build their resume, you know, what to participate in, and starting early, you know, versus later while mm-hmm. in college.
And do they come in and tell you, Jen Barone, I want to choose a major that helps me get a job? Or is that even where students' minds are when they're freshmen or sophomores?
You know, it's interesting. I think it's always in the back of their minds, you know, or knowing that they want to do something related to that major but not sure what it is. They know that they have these certain passions, but I do believe it's really important for them to know, what can I do with this and how do I get there? So it is a question, you know, what should I do? And for many of our students, they are working part-time or two jobs, you know, while going to school. So how do they also fit in building their resume to make that transition?
Anthony Carnevale, I hear you there as well. And is this an issue that so many students are already working while trying to just get through college?
About 30% of American college students are able to move through college without getting any financial aid or loans. Most of them work 15 to 20 hours a week maximum, but about 70% of students work more than 20, 25 hours a week, and 40% work full-time. So one of the difficulties here is that students don't have time to waste, and they're generally running on skinny budgets, and so they can't afford to make many mistakes, which is why I think the kind of counseling we're talking about here is really a priority that is unmet at the moment.
Jen Barone, just another quick follow-up question on what is currently offered to students. I wonder if, you know, back in my day, which was the mid to late 90s as an undergrad, oftentimes people sort of had this attitude about, well, you know, I can get advice on how to build a resume. I can get advice on how to do well in an interview. It's sort of job search counseling, not career shaping. And I'm wondering if that's still how it's done, or if you're much more actively involved from the time students first come into to UMass Boston to say, hey, look, you're going to have to think about what you do now and the impact that it'll have on you long after you leave campus.
Yeah, absolutely. We try to be as actively involved as possible through going to the first year seminars. We have a great presentation called Choosing a Major, which kind of also shows students what different pathways those majors can offer. We also have a great career assessment, Focus 2, that we try to get many students to do to really have them think about their interests, their values, their skills and abilities, and how that translates, you know, from their major to the jobs. And we have a great event, especially for liberal arts students, which is our career symposium, where we bring alumni back to show students, you know, how they got to where they are and what was helpful to them.
Interesting. Anthony Carnevale, one thing that I take away from your report is that, well, first of all, we are, you know, we're not quite through a rebound from the major recession that the entire country went through. And second of all, this is a snapshot. I mean, your graphs here at the top say unemployment rates 2010 through 11 and median earnings 2010-2011. Is it really fair to tell students who are, say, freshmen or high school seniors that, hey, look, given snapshots like this, we can accurately say that this is what the economy will look like 4 years from now when you're finished with college? So maybe you want to use these data as part of your toolkit in making decisions.
Sure. Data like this is just a clue, and oftentimes it's a false clue. We know that the market for architects and civil engineers will recover as the housing sector recovers. Probably it'll take till 2016 or 17, and we know pretty much that if the recovery continues over the next decade, we'll create 55 million job openings, 22 million new jobs, 32 million jobs to replace baby boom retirees, and 60% of them will require some college. So all these numbers will get better.
Mm. Let's take a call here. Eliza is calling from Cambridge. You're on the air, Eliza.
Hi. We kind of started to touch on this when you talked about the difference between job search counseling and career building counseling. I really don't think that the problem is legislation. I think the counseling system is really ingrained in every college and university, public and private. So the problem is training of the college counselors. Any college advisor, and the career centers are maybe a little bit different, but any college advisor, which is the one that as a student you meet with most often when you're choosing classes, they help you register. They also help you pick a major. Don't have specialties. They're just, you know, like an administrative support. So if we had more specific counseling for specialty advisors that knew specific markets and industries, I think that would make some serious change and help sort of implant that little career plan even in freshmen or high school students.
So, Eliza, you anticipated my next question, which was going to be, and I might as well ask you anyway, how early would you like to see those sort of career specialist type counselors interacting with students in high school, freshmen in college?
I would definitely say in high school. I think that our education system doesn't necessarily prepare people for certain careers because we don't emphasize and encourage specific strengths. Mm. I think in college you get to pick, but in high school, I mean, you want a well-rounded education. You want general education requirements up through senior year. I believe in that. But, you know, certain students, if they're more knowledgeable about what could actually they be studying in college or what does that actually mean, like how does that translate into an impact that they want to have in the world and in the community through what industry, through
right.
what job. So I don't think high school is too soon to start.
Eliza, thank you so much for your call. Anthony Carnevale, what do you make of that, that maybe the time to start more aggressively is before students even start applying for college?
I think we need to start in high school. Presently, we've got about one counselor for every 400 to 500 students in our high schools. Most of them are not really capable of doing career counseling. But I do think that there ought to be a mandatory course in every high school for people planning for college or post-secondary education or training. Because if nothing else, a fair share of them are going to take out loans and go into debt to go to college, and it is the biggest financial decision and commitment they'll make before they buy a house or have a child.
Mm. Jen Barone, based on that and based on the experience you've had already working with students at UMass Boston, what's one critical piece of advice you'd give to maybe a high school junior or senior or a freshman who might come into your office?
Sure. I think self-reflection, knowing yourself, your skills, your interests, your abilities is the most important piece in career planning because you may change career paths, but those skills you keep on building and enhancing, and it's really important to know, you know, who you are and to explore that because it does take time. It's not instantaneous.
Hmm. Let's take another call here. Amy's calling from the Financial District in Boston. Amy, you're on the air.
Hi. So I'm an executive coach, and I'm also a consultant to a lot of different growth companies around the country, and I advise them on their approach to talent and hiring and developing talent. And I would always prioritize hiring a liberal arts graduate over a specialist because liberal arts graduates tend to be great thinkers, problem solvers, and communicators. So I have a little bit of a different perspective on who and how to hire.
Mm, interesting, Amy. Thank you so much for your call. And on that note, Anthony Carnevale, last couple questions go to you. You mentioned the fact that other than buying a house or choosing a partner, that college is one of the biggest personal and financial decisions that a person makes in their lives. And on that point, John Tierney writes on our Facebook page, he questions this idea of making that huge decision based on current demand, because he says, if everyone studies what's in demand, the supply will soon be met and people will be unemployed or learning lower wages. Far better to pursue what you're most interested in or passionate about, regardless of the demand. What's your thought on that?
Oh, I would agree. In the end, as Ms. Barone has said, in the end, the way you figure out what you're going to be good at is to find out what it is that interests you and what you like to do. If you don't study what interests you, and if ultimately you don't do what you like to do, you won't be any good at what you do. We know that. We have equally powerful data that proves it. So the advice I would give is find out as best you can what interests you and what you like to do and pursue that, but always with an eye on the next horizon to figure out if you really like to do that and learn about it, how are you going to do it for the next 40 years after you graduate?
Interesting. And yet, say, if indeed schools and students had access to the kind of data that you pull out here in the report, it may be hard to resist the lure of looking at an engineering median income of $54,000 right out of college versus, an arts median income of $30,000, whether or not someone loved the arts or not.
There are lots of ways to resolve this problem. In the first place, most people want to get an education to live more fully in their time, and that requires more than an education that's about dollars and cents, I think.
Well, Anthony Carnevale is director of Georgetown University's Center on Education and the Workforce and co-author of the fascinating new report, Hard Times, College Majors, Unemployment, and Earnings. It's available at our website, radioboston.org. Anthony Carnevale, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
And Jen Barone is a career specialist for the College of Liberal Arts at the University of Massachusetts, Boston. Jen, thank you. Barone, thank you so much for joining us as well.
Thank you.
And listeners, let us know if your college major has worked out for you, or maybe you thought you might have gone a different direction if you had data like these in front of you your freshman year. Again, send us your comments at radioboston.org. And stick with us, because coming up in a moment, author Claire Massoud. I'm Meghna Chakrabarty with Anthony Brooks. This is Radio Boston.